Another good game that was, again, just mismanaged.
Yeah.
Bloody
mismanaged.
WB.
That's the theme
Whoever
of today's
this mismanages,
episode.
She has a lot
Maybe
to
we don't
for.
Deserve games anymore.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
On the show this week, we're going to be talking about Xbox's huge round of layoffs and games cancellations last week, Helldivers 2 coming to Xbox, and Neil Druckmann stepping away from The Last of Us TV show. But first, Brody, where are you at with Death Stranding 2?
Oh, man. Not far enough. Like, I'm maybe an hour and a bit in. Like, maybe. Ooh. Like, I'm not even remotely close to even getting to Australia, so I'm
has yeah. it not got its hooks in, or is it just trying to battle for time?
Yeah, been busy
yeah,
reviewing other things and playing other things. Ooh. And just family time in general, taking up weekends, damn them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've got a Wednesday free this week, so I'm gonna maybe try and get a good few hours in and see where I get to.
Nice. You can probably get through the Mexico stint pretty quickly in that time, I'd have thought.
Fingers
I've been keeping James across it, he can attest, but I'm hopelessly addicted to this game, and it's totally blindsided me, but it's like kind of all I want to talk about, particularly with the bad news that we've got to get to today. But yeah, I'm like all in on this game and kind of regretting not having played the first more, but I'm about like 40 hours in now. I kind of do want to do a spoiler cast, I think. I know there was like a couple of comments on YouTube suggesting that we do that. Kind of do want to get into it because I really want to like dig into the story with you guys.
I want to power through then. All right, I better power through because I don't want
to hurry it up.
All right. Shit.
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
Do you reckon I'm like a third of the way through, James, or like halfway through? Because I feel like there must be more after Australia, right?
Australia is the setting. Like, but I just can't remember what you said to me. I was definitely listening. Oh, no, nah, you're like a third. You're not even a third.
Yeah, wow.
I will say the last third goes quickly, very quickly compared to the first two thirds. So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been dilly-daddling, delivering pizzas, you know, trying to get Silent
Sniper
rifles.
Do all the pizzas
rifles.
If you can. That's my advice to everyone. You get some good
stuff. I love how it just totally leans into the delivery part at one point. It's like, now you're delivering pizzas. Like, yep, that's what we're asking you to do. But it's not nearly as annoying as that sounds. What is mega annoying, though, is all the layoffs happening over at Xbox. Last week, it was revealed that Microsoft made roughly 9,100 employees redundant, making significant cuts to several Xbox teams, including Rare and The Initiative, where Everwild and Perfect Dark have been respectively cancelled. To make matters worse, ZeniMax Online Studios, I should say, also had an unannounced project scrapped as Matt Furor announced his resignation as studio head after 18 years at the studio. It later emerged by way of a former employee that turned 10 had also been decimated by redundancies, and that a Forza Motorsport project was cancelled in the process. That's kind of, I think, like just the tip of the iceberg. It seems like every day, every hour, kind of hearing more of the ripple effects of this announcement as well. But Brody, maybe first to you, what was your reaction to this news?
Yeah, it was not a great one to wake up to. It was a bit of a dumpster fire. But yeah, very disappointing from from a gamer perspective, but especially as someone who, I guess, you know, drinks the Xbox Kool-Aid. I'm finding it, yeah, very hard to reconcile it and very hard to, I guess, even muster a defense for it. Like, I don't think you can. So, they'll obviously have their reasons for these redundancies. Like, everyone's saying that it's so they can trim fat to, you know, pump money into AI and things like that. And if that's the case, then I guess that they see value in that as a business. At the end of the day, that's what they are. But we can also still be very displeased with how this has panned out. Because, I mean, we're talking about throwing away a decade of, you know, R&D, resources, time, talent on like games that we'll now never see. Like, we'll never know what Everwild was. Perfect Dark, like, what the fuck was that? Like, their first quadruple A Gambit, and it's just dog water. It's nothing. Turn 10 getting absolutely like ripped in half, and they have never delivered a bad game. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to reconcile the decision, but at the end of the day, I suppose, yeah, Xbox is going to Xbox. And yeah, I don't know, it was a very deflating day as an Xbox guy for sure.
Keen for your kind of sentiment on it as well, James, but I guess to throw another question in the mix, like, where do you think Xbox go from here? Like, is there much confidence in your mind that they kind of turn things around?
I think, I don't even know if they want to. Like, that's, and I don't know, I should, like, no, I'm like, you laugh, but I genuinely wonder, like, and that's the, this is the thing that sucks about this is, like, I know that we've been saying they're a business and stuff, but they're like a $1 trillion company. I think they made like 22
record profits,
billion in profit or something last year.
Business is good.
I feel like layoffs, like, normally they come off the back of, say, some kind of failure or, like, something like that. But this is, like, the opposite, and I don't...
Is that Xbox specifically, though, or Microsoft generally?
Microsoft, I think, more generally. But, like, I think Game Pass was doing well. I just think, like, when it comes down to it, this just feels like a lot of very short-term decisions made for some short-term gains, not really thinking about things for the future, right? Especially because this is essentially Microsoft kind of joining the AI arm race that everybody is trying to get a piece of now. So I personally think this is them beginning to like wash their hands of gaming. But like everything they do, I do wonder like what's the long-term plan here? Like, so you've got Game Pass as a subservice, right? But then you might be moving to a system where people can play their Steam games and Epic or whatever. And it's like, how do you then incentivize? Like, it doesn't make sense to me that those two kind of business models can exist on the same console. If that makes sense. I've skipped a few steps there, like, in my brain. But
well, let me bring in another kind of tidbit as well. And that was Rafael Colantonio, the founder and former president of Arkane Studios, co-director of the original Dishonored. He condemned Game Pass in a series of tweets, writing, "I think Game Pass is an unsustainable model that has been increasingly damaging to the industry for a decade. I don't think Game Pass can coexist with other models. They'll either kill everyone else or give up." What do you make of those comments, James?
I think I mean I understand where he's coming from there. With Game Pass, I feel like there are people that either like developer wise who love it and have found great success with it, and there are people who are like, it's shit, it's not really that good, don't bother bringing yourself to Xbox unless you've got a deal. Like, there are definitely people on both sides of that fence, I think. This one's obviously been kind of in the spotlight a bit because of what has happened just before he's tweeted that out, right? But I kind of understand. I think we've been having this conversation for a long time, right? Like, it has definitely warped purchasing habits, especially of Xbox people. I've seen it in my friend group. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I'll just wait for it to come to Game Pass. It's like, it's not, that's not a given. Like, and, you know, they need support now sometimes. But yeah, like, I understand where he's coming from, and that's why we've always been questioning the future, like, in terms of how sustainable is this. Like, it is a drum that we've like kind of banged on about a lot regularly.
Yeah.
I will say, not much new to add there, but I do feel like, you know, what like when they announced Perfect Dark, or Everwild, or all these other cool games, you're like, wow, like, this just adds so much value to Game Pass. Like, is there, like, what value is there now if you can't trust these games to come out? Like, you know, I would never have thought Perfect Dark would be cancelled, but Crackdown 3 came out, you know. like, nothing against Crackdown 3. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. But, like, and even, like, South of Midnight, like, that's a smaller game. Like, that's not terrible, but...
I think the Crackdown 3 argument, I don't know if, like, that stands up, because, like, it was so early-ish in them, like, developing
games. A different
games,
time.
In a way. Mm. Like, I feel like they've spent so much money developing games.
I don't think it's, like, early...
and getting it wrong.
I don't
know. It was a long time ago. Like, if you think about what's happened since then...
It's early
in terms
Game
of,
Pass
like, games
the
that
list.
Haven't come out. Yeah, well, it was...
early Game Pass.
I don't know.
I think
they've probably wasted hundreds of millions of dollars since that. And if Perfect Dark like wasn't a thing, or it wasn't going to be a thing after this long, it's hard to speak about this stuff because, like, whilst Microsoft are like a $1 trillion company, if there's sections or things that just aren't working, I don't know if that means you just like spend millions and billions of dollars on game development if like these teams aren't getting anywhere or the games aren't coming out or they're not doing anything. I don't know if that makes them immune from that. It does suck.
Yeah, I agree, but I think like we wouldn't be in this point if their studios weren't so poorly mismanaged.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Mm.
But then I also can't help but feel like the Activision deal, like that's obviously put a big financial pressure on, say, Xbox to say bring in money quicker from the people above. And I can't help but like, and I just can't help but ask, like, was that really worth it? Like in the end, just so that you can shutter like your team who makes Forza every second year, or you know, just to have COD on Game Pass. Like it's just, I don't know.
It's a hard one because Forza, you look at that as well, and like while they're technically good games, like I feel like we didn't hear anything about Forza after it came out, this most recent one. And again, that might be filler whoever's fault because like it was moving to a live service model for Game Pass. I mean, so, like maybe that is an error.
It was one of the best selling games on PlayStation when it eventually came out.
Horizon, but
I agree with that. But then I think like you get to a point where like kind of people have kind of abandoned the platform in a way. Like the most of it's coming last, like out of the Switch and the PlayStation. And like say your big exclusives don't hit anymore.
I feel like every time something like this happens, I feel like there's always, who said it? I think Reggie Fils-Aimé might have said it, that like, I think it was Reggie, that like Xbox are behind because like they lost the most important console generation when everyone was making their online accounts. And I feel like they've never recovered from the Xbox One, and like it just hasn't happened.
I just think the way out of that is making games that are desirable, that people want, that they're like willing to kind of jump through the hoops, the necessary hoops, in order to play it. And I don't think by like canceling as many projects as they have, they're taking the right sort of steps to get there. That being said, I think like the error was probably made years ago when these games were kind of in a far earlier state, that they like continue to be greenlit. Like, I think what surprises me most about this, just how far along you have to assume some of these games are. Like the ZeniMax game sounds like it was really far along and like nearing completion. I'm just like, why was the assessment not made earlier in that game's development cycle to change course? It an adjustment to a franchise they know is going to sell better, or like containing the scope of the game or whatever. Like I think that's where like really serious questions need to be asked about more senior leadership
at
the publisher.
Another one that stands out as well is the Initiative, because that was like handpicked to be this Xbox built studio to rival, I think, like PlayStation's caliber of games, and like to have nothing after 6 or 7 years, I just don't understand how like you don't course correct that. And it's just a weird, and also the pressure to put on them by announcing Perfect Dark so early and whatever else happened, like it's just not, you can see how it's kind of fallen over, but it is sad.
Yeah, and where I disagree with like Raphael Colantonio as well is like, yeah, I think Game Pass is being seriously disruptive into like the economy of the video game industry, but like maybe probably not more so than free to play games or like
that's something else, you know,
smaller $5 to $10 indie games. Like I'm watching Peak do phenomenally well on Steam at the moment, right? And it's just like that's a small team that has kind of very clearly defined the scope of their game. They've kept it kind of small. They've kept it manageable. They've just had a really rock solid kind of gameplay loop and tapped into like kind of gamers' kind of social interests and what they know is going to stream well and clip out well. And like that's kind of, I think, the way to do it at the moment, and that's not what Xbox has been doing for the last 10 years.
I just think it's disappointing because all of these purchases and stuff obviously leading to having this like really good, like I guess, portfolio of games that weren't necessary for me personally. Like I've tried and play as much as I can, and I think everything there was quite interesting, but like and now it sounds like they're just kind of gunning towards like only like these like triple A heavy hitters and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and yeah,
which
I don't know.
Maybe they continue filling out Game Pass with like striking those kind of third party deals. Like, I think Game Pass has benefited from that this year with the like of, you know, Adam Fall coming on there and Clair Obscur, and you know, like these are great games that are available that aren't Xbox funded, right? Or maybe there is in part by way of it coming to Game Pass, but that sounds like much more cost effective than producing the game start to finish entirely yourself.
Well, that's what they're doing with Ninja Gaiden, right? I think, from what I understand.
And I think the existence of Double Fine and what they do, that still proves that they can occupy that middle ground space of, like, is it indie, is it AAA as well? So, I don't know. I think there's so many issues with the industry, though, because, I mean, there's been a problem even before Game Pass of, like, you know, Square Enix expecting fucking Guardians of the Galaxy to sell 10 million copies and it just can't. So, like, there's bigger issues than just is Game Pass making money, because games just don't make enough money.
Sure.
The guy from Arcane should know that better than anyone, because those games famously undersold every time. So,
I think it's hard, and we've spoken about this at length. Like, I think with Game Pass, like, you can't put a dollar value on a lot of it, right? Like, PlayStation and Nintendo, like, know what they're putting into development of a game and know what they're getting back for the most part. Where Xbox, it's the same as, like, Netflix or any other streaming service. Like, you're kind of, you might not see the benefit of a game for like 3 years, because you have to really quantify that, like, that's got them in, or they've come back to it for months after month after month for years on end. Like, it's just, you don't see that same immediate.
I kind of disagree with that, because like you just look at your incoming revenue by way of Game Pass year on year, and then how much expenditure you're putting out developing games to go on the platform. Like,
what if you're not like getting 2 million new subscribers, but like 10 million people are playing a game, but it's not bringing any new subscribers? Like, then you've kind of just spent like $1 billion for nothing, essentially. Like, I know you're keeping subscribers, but it's a little bit harder.
I also think to quantify this, it. I think with Game, I don't know. I mean, I'm not somebody who does this for any of them, but like, I know a lot of people just subscribe, play a game for like a month or two, and then just drop it. And I feel like that's
such a chaotic way to live. I couldn't do that.
Sustainable. I mean, some people can't afford it, Brody.
It's like, a bit more economical, yeah.
I think we all say like that Game Pass is a great value, right? I think it's like, how do you actually get people to drop the money when there's so many streaming services now? Like, that's the hard thing. Like, reaching that next level of gamer that probably does just play like FIFA and GTA. And they've got, like, there's a lot of great stuff on PC Game Pass that I didn't even know existed before I did a few videos on like the benefits and stuff. Like, you get access to a lot, but I guess like, how do you communicate that to like a wider, really like everyday gamer that's not already on it? If like after 5 years, if you're not on it, I don't really know what's making you jump on it at this point. And that's the struggle.
Yeah. And some people are just kind of so ironed on to whatever like game they're playing or what their preferred sort of ecosystem it is. And I think like, for most people like building out their Steam library. They can get games pretty affordably there, or they're on PlayStation's ecosystem as well, right?
So it's true. Like, it's not like a Netflix situation. Like, you can just buy one game a year if you want and not have Game Pass, and that's probably not what Xbox want at this point.
Yeah, I think like a big issue lies at the heart of like, they're just not putting out games that are that like, drop everything, do whatever you've got to do to play this game.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that, you know, PlayStation has those coming out of their ears, but like Spider-Man, you maybe argue is that kind of game. The Last of Us games are another.
In terms of PlayStation, I agree with you, but then I think about like Xbox and Halo, like where Halo used to be, right?
Yeah.
And to where it is now is just like so depressing. And the reveal of that, you know, happened, and then they pushed it back a year, and then it came out a year after, and it still didn't have like those Halo staples, like, you know, local co-op and stuff. Yeah. I think stuff like that is what sucks, like, about the whole thing, is like all of this mismanagement has definitely led to something. Even like Starfield, like who would ever have predicted that like a new IP from the people who made Elder Scrolls and Fallout would do what it did? And same deal, it got revealed, and then a year later they were like, oh shit, we better put it back a year, and then it came out and it didn't move the needle for many people at all. I'm actually surprised that one hasn't made a jump to PS5 yet. But like,
I just think, I do think they're getting better. Like, I think they're, like, taking so a step back with now, things like Halo. Well, yeah.
I agree, but I also think now, yes, they're getting better, but now we haven't even given... There's no chance whatsoever, like, to even see that.
Well, yeah, I think better. Perfect Dark... Everwild is, like, it's not whatever, but I think it's, like, it's harder to speak about that because we didn't know what it was. And I think Sea of Thieves took a good amount of years to, like, get to a point where, like, people were talking about it. But Perfect Dark was, like... Yeah, it's, like, a really iconic franchise. And, like, it was going to be, like, their big, again, from this studio that they built. And from what we saw, like, it was hitting all the right beats to hit that. I don't think it was going to set the world on fire, but I think that's one that stings for sure.
Yes,
I'm upset. I think it's just kind of, like, I don't know what it is as well, if it's kind of a realization that you can kind of cancel these games and, like, get a tax write-off or whatever it is. Like, what was it? The Wonder Woman movie that they cancelled or
the TV series.
What am I thinking of?
It was, like, Batwoman.
Is the game cancelled?
Like, or Batgirl? The Batgirl movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tax... Yeah. And, you know, maybe it is kind of, like, a bit of a scare seeing what PlayStation did with the Concord and that just kind of falling over and then them abandoning ship. And, like, combating the kind of sunk cost fallacy of it as well. It's like, okay, we're so far down this road, but it's going to cost us X amount to get it to the finish line. And even then, there's no guarantee that we're going to make a return. Let's just cut our losses now. But yeah, it's hard, particularly, like, I feel for the developers that had gone so far down this road, dedicated so many years of their life to this project, to just, like, not see it materialize at all.
It's also, yeah, it's just hard because I don't know how anyone's ever going to believe a new game announcement from Xbox ever again. Like, I don't want to be dramatic because obviously how would you even believe that State of Decay 3 is coming out?
Like, I'm nervous about Fable, if I'm being honest.
I still don't believe that Fable is coming out now. Like, but I'm sure it will. Like, I feel like, surely, right?
Knock
but
then,
like, it's set, not, yeah. That's what I'm yeah. saying. It's not surely anymore. Like, it's...
No. Yeah.
No second year wind this time around, I fear, Brody, that you famously said on the show.
I really fucking shat in my mouth on that one, didn't I?
they did. Twice. Yeah. Three times.
I feel for Bethesda Studios particularly, because I think, like, there was, like, so much optimism in kind of the deal. I don't know, maybe it was kind of mixed in with a healthy dose of skepticism as well, but... I don't know. There was kind of this line coming out of the time that they were, like, really great collaborators and they were letting ideas kind of flow and just supporting them in their endeavors. And, you know, maybe that was just Pete Hines towing the party line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it kind of seems now that really, like, all of these studios are just entirely at the mercy of Microsoft as a larger entity. And whatever they kind of decide to do. And I think that's a bit of a scary sort of thought. Yeah, it's the business of video games kind of trumping the artistic side by a large degree.
It just blows chunks. Like, there's no other way to put it, honestly. Like, I'm, like, super upset about this. But yeah.
Yeah, and particularly, like, I mean, like, all of this is devastating, don't get me wrong, but... I was particularly keen to see what Everwild was just because I thought Sea of Thieves was really interesting and I think Rare is a really amazing studio. And Perfect Dark, I don't have any real sort of connection to, other, like, historically, but the IP seemed really interesting and I think the different, or the route they were taking it,
looked really cool too.
So, yeah, it sucks.
And, like, even, like, how it's affected John Romero. Like, he's basically, like, overnight had to, like, shut his studio down because, like, funding was pulled. Like, that's buck wild. Like, the guy that, like, helped make Doom.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking...
It sounds like that was... I don't think they've confirmed officially that it was Xbox kind of pulling the publisher deal, but it certainly, like, seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's... it's effectively all but
confirmed. Yeah. There's an awful lot of people kind of caught up in this, an awful lot of studios. It really sucks. Maybe I've got some good news for Xbox fans out there, though, and that is that it's been confirmed that Helldivers 2 is coming to the Xbox Series X and S on August 26th. It will be published by PlayStation PlayStation Studios, and available digitally with support for crossplay. Interestingly, though, the game is set for release the same day as Gears of War Reloaded.
That's deliberate. That's an attack.
What do you think the thinking is there, Brody? Is PlayStation just coming after them?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to do the mental gymnastics as to like what they could be thinking there. Because I feel like they, at the end of the day, it'll sell more copies because Xbox will just play Gears on Game Pass. So I don't know. They can say, on Xbox, for that day, our game sold more than your game, Coco. I don't know. But either way, very interesting. Very interesting decision to come out the same day. So,
Yeah. Shannon, you and I played a bit of Helldivers, if I'm not mistaken. I seem to remember doing that. You excited that Xbox players got to kind of jump in and give it a go?
Don't lie.
I mean, I think so. I think, yeah.
Have you been tempted to go back to Helldivers at all?
No.
I mean, not more recent. Like, when some of the earlier updates happened, yes, but not at this current time. No. I mean, it's a great game, and I think, like, people are going to pick it up on Xbox for $50, $60, whatever it is. I think it's a smart game.
You'll be surprised.
It was last week we were speaking about like how PlayStation might test the waters. I think it was like day one PlayStation Plus stuff for their live service stuff. I think this is a good example of them testing the waters. Like, what do they have to lose with Helldivers?
Then they'll bring Concord back.
At this point. Yeah, that's next. Exclusively on Xbox. I think it's a good one because like it might not sell, right? And then they know, well, let's not tarnish our brand or dilute our brand by bringing games to Xbox if it sells 5 units. So I think it's a good test where they're not going to lose anything either way.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the right kind of game to bring to other platforms, particularly when it's already had a pretty good run on consoles and obviously PC as well now. And I'm excited for what it might do for the game. Like, maybe it does just bring in... It remains to be seen how many players it brings in. But if it does bring in some, maybe it kind of gives it, like, a bit of a third wind and kind of pulls some people kind of over. You know, I'm sure there'll be some instances where someone on Xbox can suddenly go, oh, hey, friend A, you can come and join me now and we can play this game together. And if it kind of coincides with some new content drops,
I wonder, be cool. If it'll, similar to what we were chatting about last week, if it will come to like PlayStation Plus now. I don't know if it's ever had free weekends and stuff, but I assume that'd be another good one for them to test, to get new people in and see what they can earn through other models.
Yeah, I've really kind of like not had the capacity to jump back in. There's just been too many games coming out this year that I've been eager to spend time with and start the show raving about Death Stranding. But I've been wanting to. Like, I think they've added a new enemy type that I've not experienced as well. Things like that have made me want to go back. James, you've remained very, like, unconvinced this whole sort of time. Are you just, like, not a Helldivers fan? Or you just doom and gloom about Xbox and there's no silver lining here?
I just feel that Helldivers did really well because there wasn't really anything like that on PlayStation at the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Xbox, there is a little bit more. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I played it and I just felt like this is just like every other online multiplayer shooter that I've ever played. Like, I think the rollout was, there's something to be said for the rollout of the content and stuff. That was great. But now that that's all kind of fizzled away, like, I don't know. And then I feel like with Gears especially, I'll be interested to see how Gears does, because I feel like Gears 1, there's a lot of nostalgia there for a lot of people who were big fans on the 360 and might have kind of dipped out for Xbox One. And now they're back to it. Like, I do think that is a game that the general public has a fondness for. I mean, we all remember the ad. I don't know if Ewan was born, but like the
Mad again ad. Though, I feel like no one's talking about it. But I wasn't the beta for that a nightmare. Like, didn't it not work? And there was like no matchmaking.
Did it not?
And stuff.
Did it really? See, and then
I'm
this
pretty
is
sure.
Once,
which
and
is
then we're back to the
shocking.
Issue, which is more mismanagement from Xbox. Like, I just like, you know, there's all these like, I don't know. I think it will be fine for launch. I don't know. I just don't see. I don't see this
bit of
game
a Halo Master Chief collection. Will it be just perfectly?
Absolutely. Enough.
Nah, I agree. Well, that's why you have a beta, so you give them a benefit of the doubt. on that one.
I do. I feel like they've had 7 games or whatever now. Like, surely they've worked out how to matchmake and do lobbies, right? But who knows? Strange things have happened.
Time will tell.
But yeah, I don't know. I think Gears will definitely do better everywhere than Helldivers on Xbox, personally. And I don't think that's a controversial take, personally.
Mm. No. I feel like we were talking, maybe it wasn't even on the show, just offline, about games struggling to sell on Xbox just generally as well. Yeah. All right. Changing gears from Xbox to delve into a bit of PlayStation HBO news, Neil Druckmann has announced that he's stepping away from HBO's The Last of Us TV series in a statement the Naughty Dog studio head wrote. With work completed on season 2 and before any meaningful work starts in season 3, now is the right time for me to transition my complete focus to Naughty Dog and its future projects. Co-writer of The Last of Us Part 2, Hallie Gross, also announced her departure from the show. Adding in a statement of her own that she has some truly rad projects ahead that she can't wait to share. Shannon, what concerns, if any, do you have that Neil and Hallie are stepping away from the show?
I mean, I'm glad. I feel like I honestly haven't watched the second season past the big moment, or maybe I watched one more.
One of those.
I do feel like, yeah, the first season, obviously that was hugely important to get right, and we've said that they expanded on the expanded bits were some of the best. And similarly, this season, I know where it ends, and again, it's like, I feel like it's on course now to be on its way and sort of end to the point that they can, I'm sure, just walk away and get back to Intergalactic. So I think it's good news, because I think that's where we want them, rather than, not that the show isn't important, but I think we want new stuff from Naughty Dog, so I'm glad that they're getting back to that. And I feel like, yeah, again, I don't know if the show will ever reach the heights of the first season, so it's a good decision for them to go back to the gaming side. I'm surprised that they weren't, like, I'm surprised that this had to be a decision. I kind of thought this was taking up, like, 10% of their time, maybe, and they were just working on games, the other 90%, but maybe that's silly.
I mean, based on, like, I was very in the world of the show and, like, all the behind the scenes stuff. Like, they wrote and directed episodes, right? Were on set for parts of it too. So I think it probably,
like,
was.
It exists, right? Like, it's not as if they're rewriting something that doesn't. I'm not discounting what they're doing.
I think a fair amount of work is involved in, like, retooling it. But I'm surprised by this, that more meaningful work hasn't already been done for season 3, because I kind of under the assumption that they were kind of shot, like,
back to back
on those or bits and pieces, just given a lot of it's, like, you know, same sets, same cast, etc. So I expected the turnaround for season 3 to be quite quick, and then it all to go a bit radio silent for a period of time. But yeah, I think it's good that they're back at the studio. And it wouldn't surprise me if a big part of the reason for that is to get Intergalactic out the door and start work more meaningfully on part 3. I think there's kind of a bigger vested interest in keeping the franchise going as a video game, moving that along in order for the show to continue. But yeah, they might not be so just like them. They might be approaching it way more like, we're not doing it until we got a story, rather than kind of keeping what makes money going, I suppose. Maybe it's art trumping out over the business of things for a change. Brody, what's your take?
I guess probably more to Shannon's point and what he said. Yeah, I'd say the blueprint's kind of there. And if work is ramping up on Intergalactic and whatever else they might have in the oven, then, you know, maybe they are needed back at Naughty Dog. I heard some theories bandied around, like, throughout the week, that you know, there might have been a little trouble in Paradise because of some of the reception to the changes and stuff, which you presume would have been, like, say, Druckmann ledness, like, perhaps. But look, I don't think he'd let that bother him necessarily to the point where he'd walk away from a role or anything like that.
Because he's just said good luck with it. See you later. I'm out.
No, and look, and unless he's similar to me, because I have full faith in Craig Mazin to be able to obviously steer this. Obviously, the work is there. Whether he makes his own, you know, takes liberties with certain story points or whatever, like, that's up to him. But like, Craig Mazin is a perfectly capable showrunner, so. I've got no doubt that Neil probably just thinks it's in fine hands, and, you know, I don't need to be here for this necessarily. So
Yeah. James, any thoughts?
Not really.
Do we think Intergalactic is like, it's not next year, is it? That's like stupid to think that.
No, I think it's 2027 at the earliest.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Mm.
Sadly. And I wouldn't, like, would love for it to be next year, but
I think it's good that he's gone back to do the game, because I don't know. This is even with Kojima. I think, what does the team think when they see people like gallivanting around with celebrities and TV shows and stuff?
You've been gallivanting, haven't you?
Bit of a game to make. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, particularly if you're like, I really just need that email responded to, so like I could just square off this side quest.
I think Neil is someone that's like very like perfectionist, right? Like you, yeah. If he's like disappearing for a month at a time, then coming back and just flipping a table, we don't want that.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely worried that he was kind of biting off more than he could chew. And he gave an interview recently talking about kind of being stretched pretty thin. So, yeah, I think this sounds sensible. And I'm glad that he's, like, walking away from the show to continue making video games as opposed to the other way around. Yeah. We're fast approaching a time where Kojima might be doing the opposite, right? Stepping away from video games to make movies. And that's a bit of a scary thought. I think that'll be a pretty...
I don't know what's fast approaching.
Probably 8 years. Yeah. But he's indicated that time is coming, right? It's a bit of a scary thought. Side note, though, I will say I'm very excited to see what Alex Garland is going to do with the Elden Ring movie. I saw like that clip of him going around talking about his being on his 7th playthrough of Elden Ring. And I've just seen 28 years later, and I just think he's like an amazing writer for screen. So keen to see what he does with that movie.
Here, here.
That's my side note. I have a rapid fire question for you all as well. Now, James, I don't think you were going to make it on the show. So this question's kind of written as if you weren't going to be here.
So don't answer.
Maybe we kind of, yeah, let's go to Brody and Shannon first, and then we'll come to you. So with James not on the show, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it's emerged that a new Resident Evil mobile strategy game called Resident Evil Survival Unit is soon to be announced, with the co-creator of the Kingdom Hearts series attached to the project. Brody and Shannon, my question to each of you is, on a scale of 0 to 10, where do we think his excitement levels are at for this Resident Evil mobile strategy game?
I think he'd be cracking around the 3 to 4 mark. If I'm being honest.
3 to 4. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. James is not giving anything away. Shannon?
Well, he did rock up in a Resident Evil jacket and then couldn't take it off. So I'm going to say a 10. He's never been more excited for
anything
Resident Evil related.
But it's mobile. It's mobile.
All right. Well, I'm going to
keep it.
He can
take it with him anywhere. That's even better, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
I reckon I'm going to say this is a 0, and if it could be lower than 0, it probably would be. James, what's the answer?
It's interesting, isn't it? No, I don't know. Whatever. Is it multiplayer? Do we know? Or is it just single player? What's the vibes?
Do we know anything?
I don't think we know anything other than it's happening. They're unveiling it all in a live stream event next week.
Maybe this is the original RE9, the online vision coming to life mobile form.
I mean, like Veil Reverse, right? But let's all really just miss that.
Are you going to put a number to it?
I will download it and play it. That's my commitment.
That's a 10
I do that.
To me.
Brody's right, Ben. This is like a lukewarm enthusiasm.
To me, that's a pass if I'm going to download it, right? Like, I'm not... So that's a 5.
I'm closer still.
Okay, yeah. Brody's still close.
Nearest to pin.
Yeah, okay.
We should do this more often. That was fun. What's even more fun, though, is What the Wiki, the Pressed Up podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points, unless you do what I did last week, and that's get both guesses back-to-back, in which you're awarded a bonus point and get 3 points all up. Just on that, Brody, did you have a chance to listen to last week's episode?
No, I don't listen to stuff I'm not on.
Someone did chime in on Twitter. I don't know.
No.
Did I post that? Someone did say you deserved the 4 points.
You did. You're right. I'm forgetting who tweeted us now. But 4 points. I agree.
Who got 4 points?
So what happened, Brody, is that Shannon was hosting. He was reading out the scripts from Wikipedia,
and he read
right?
the name of the game.
And he read the name of the game. And I picked up when it said it and felt like I should have been awarded the point. And we decided, no, we're going to scrap that.
I could
go
see
on.
The argument,
as it happened, I got it anyway. But
I mean, that's
the
just,
argument
that's
was
just
made
user error
I
from Shannon,
4 points.
That's just user error. Yeah.
To be fair, it was after like 5 minutes and that was the end of the stupid thing.
I was going to say 5 wines.
Neither of them got it. Yeah, that too.
Anyhow, with that all said and done, I'm in first place on 21 points. James is in second on 18. Brody, you're in third on 16. Shannon, you're in 10. And Harry's bringing up the rear on 4 points. If you are already, I have the games prepped for today.
So excited.
Okay, here we go. Set on a fictional planet named Coda, players assume the role of freelancers, heroic adventurers who wear powerful exosuits to defend humanity from the threats beyond their city's walls. No guesses. Ooh.
Brody?
The game combines... Brody?
Is it Anthem?
It is Anthem. Well done, Brody. He's off the mark.
Thanks very much.
Bumping up to 17 points there. Game number 2. Players take on the role of individuals who possess mysterious powers and have become humanity's only hope against the hostile Volgus, an invasive alien race. The player is tasked with objectives related to repelling the Volgus threat. Albion serves as the main hub where the player can receive quests. James.
Is this Helldivers 2?
It's not Helldivers 2, no.
Oh,
Albion serves as the main hub where the player can receive quests. The quests themselves are completed in various battle areas unlocked through progressing the main story. The game received mixed reviews on Steam at launch, with players criticizing its grind and feeling it incentivized purchasing microtransactions. Despite this, the game topped Steam's bestsellers chart upon release and reached a player count of 10 million during its first week. 6 months after launch, the game lost 96.4% of its Steam player base.
Wow.
The game is a free-to-play, massively multiplayer online role-playing looter shooter developed and published by Nexon. The game was released on the 2nd of July. Yeah,
hello?
James?
Yeah, it's me. Is this the first Descendant, Yui?
It is the first Descendant. Well done, James. Is anyone picking up on the common thread yet?
Shit. What was Besides the first game? That. Oh, no, Anthem was good. I still think that was a good game. It was just, again, mismanaged. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. I reckon you're going to have to.
Is someone singing in the background?
I think it's.
Yeah, I wonder who. Yeah.
I didn't
Isn't he tired?
I wish I
He's
did.
He's been
now.
Going for 3 hours.
All right. The next game. Shannon, you need this to stay in the fight. The game features a variety of factions and classes, each with their own unique abilities and weapons. It is set in its publisher's universe. Map locations are based Brody. On multiple titles. Brody?
No. I'm going to pull out.
No, ooh, okay. You can't pull out. You're in.
Okay, I'll go then.
Finish.
Is go. It
FBC Firebreak.
It's not FBC Firebreak, no. The game is set in the publisher's universe. Map locations are based on multiple titles and in-game locations. Players engage in fast-paced, team-based multiplayer matches across a variety of maps and game modes.
Sounds like Firebreak.
The setting of the game revolves around factions that previously appeared in other Ubisoft franchises.
Brody.
This includes... Brody?
Am I back in?
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
It was hard to hear you over all the groans coming from the other side of the room.
This could be one of two things, I think. I'm going to say X Defiant.
It is X Defiant. Well done, Brody. That bags you the win, and you've stepped up to 18 points there. Didn't gain a place. That 1 point that James picked up has just kept him ahead of you.
I gained
a
point on James.
The gap.
That's the main
That's
thing.
Good. Yeah.
Bringing up his rear, as I like to do.
Bit of a borzo, that one. Bit of a borzo.
Yeah, that sucked. That was shit. I agree with Shannon.
What happened to just reading the game name out during the thing?
Like, exactly. Give me drama. Give me anything.
That makes it way more interesting, apparently. We need
more drama. And theater.
So I picked these games because they're all closing down in one way or another this year. So I'm just spelling that out for everyone listening.
Anthem's make it even James, more boring. Okay.
Anthem's closing next year.
Anthem is next year. Sorry, apologies. And The First Ascendant bonus is point? Only closing on PS4 and Xbox One, I think. That's staying
Your
current.
Theme is
staying
falling current. Over.
What was the fourth game?
Just so everyone knows, I just looked it up. Anthem is $4 at EB Games.
Do you want to play it, James?
Wow.
Do you want to get back
Cheap
in?
Tuesday come through.
I'm really busy, Brody, so I can't. I'm sorry. But
it was a game with good month. Mechanics, but like bad design.
What was the last game that you had?
It just had nothing to do. Oh, the last game I had?
Yeah.
Do you just want to guess off the top of your dome?
No, can you just...
What closed down this year?
Let's just do it. Let's just do it.
You just want to do it? Okay. The game is a platform fighter with players battling at different stages. James.
Is it Multiverses?
Yes, it's Multiverses. Well done.
That also, another
incredible...
You could
have just let me get a pity win. A pity nothing round.
Just some pity spit.
We've got plenty of pity for you.
Another good game that was, again, just mismanaged.
Yeah.
Bloody
mismanaged.
WB.
That's the theme
Whoever
of today's
this mismanages,
episode.
She has a lot
Maybe
to
we don't deserve
for.
Games anymore. Maybe that's it.
No, I don't know about that. Let's relax. I deserve games.
Let
I
it all burn.
And with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
Also joining us today was James.
Yep, I'm on Twitter at James, @JamesATJMZ. And Blue Sky, just find me. I don't know.
You just have to edit that
Sorry,
together.
Sorry, you cut out a little bit of error.
Just put that together. Yeah. Everyone was just staring at me, so I was like, do they want me to say my Blue Sky?
Because
I
just keep
don't
mentioning
know
social
yeah.
platforms.
Yeah, okay.
And the man with the mo bag and all the points, it was Brody.
Thanks. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next week. Until next week, falling over right at the finish line. Happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.